Mother Rabbi said, lessons from the Lev, Parshas Vayishlach. I think a very, very important idea. Imritz Hashem involving in just 2 weeks. Chanukah Ba'aleinu Latova. I want to dedicate this year Lazecha Nishmas. My grandfather Yaakov Yitzhak Menachem Dov was your tzaitis this week. His neshama should have a tremendous aliyah. He was a great person, but amongst the great accomplishments, besides being the first president of a university, of a secular university, a firm president of the university, really living the true Kiddush Hashem and showing what it is to be a firm Jew. He was very influential in Yeshiva University, making it into a university, and so many people have benefited from that. There is a very beautiful Svarno on our Parsha that, of course, asks a very poignant question. The Parsha, of course, tells us about Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi see their sister, Dina, who is raped, who is taken against her will by Shechem. Brought there, the difficulty of this episode certainly has reverberations around, really, all of not only Klal Yisrael, but the world, after everything that Bnei Yaakov had accomplished. Of course, our parasha talking about this confrontation with Esav, certainly being one that is successful, with the fight that Yaakov has with Sarosh Shel Esav, who we know symbolizing the nations of the world, specifically that of Esav, and then this happens. And the question that, of course, is asked, and later on in Parshas Vayechi, has to be answered, is that clearly this act was quite extreme. Certainly one could justify the person who did the act being punished. Shechem, get it. Chamor, maybe even. But the entire town of Shechem, one has to question how that was allowed. And of course, we probably know the story already, what happened, where the brothers go in with the guise of making everybody have a bris milah, becoming monotheistic, and they kill all of the males. They kill the city. The Sfarno asked, how in fact is this possible? How is this allowed? And as we'll quote in Parshas Vayechi, it seems that their father was quite upset with this. It says the Sfarno as follows. Bnei Yaakov bo El hachalim vazu ha'ir asher timu achosam. The pasuk tells us that the sons, of course, Shimon and Levi, came upon the town and they killed, they plundered the city that had defiled their sister. It says the Sfarno, ki lulei haya kfar davar kazeh bilti nimas etzlahem. The act would have been considered disgusting if the act was considered to be disgusting to the people of the city. Shechem would have never done it. If it was nim'as etzlehem, lo haya Shechem oise kein, he would never be able to do that. Omnam, hayu zeh gomel, murgal. However, what happened? The behavior was accepted. Not only by the common folk, but by the leaders of the city themselves. To be able to take ki onam hayazeh, that it was accepted, gumal murgal etzlam, shilachu rashei ha'ir binota'am, bilti rishut l'nashim lifkotam. That in the city it was seemingly allowed to take women as wives or concubines, without consent. As the pasuk says, and they chose wives from any that they chose. So what is the Sfarno getting at over here? The Sfarno clearly makes a reference to the fact that nobody cared, nobody did anything. Shechem, the son of Chamor, sets his sights on Dina, carefully laying a trap, enticing her to leave her tent, kidnapping and defiling her. And of course, the Pasuk tells us how distressed Shimon and Levi were. The difficulty, of course, remains. How can it be? How is it possible that Shimon and Levi were able to go out just because, quote-unquote, one person defiled their sister? How is it possible the brothers of Dina told Shechem, in order to marry into our family, a person has to have a bris milah? Shechem and Hamor said, that's a great idea, and convinced everyone in the town to do the same. As the third day of Milah, and we know very well from Avraham Avinu, the third day of Milah is the difficult day, Reuven and Shimon take swords and kill every male in the city. The Sfarno's explanation is that in society, if forcibly taking a woman is not considered to be abhorrent, if it's acceptable in society, we have a problem. If society has a norm that this is not something that's done, and you'll be outed in social media, and whatever position you have, within 20 minutes, you won't have it anymore, that is a city that has morals. Yes, the Sfarno says, the entire town was responsible for creating a social atmosphere that this conduct was acceptable. But they didn't actually kill anyone. They didn't actually perform a disgusting act. They didn't join him. They didn't aid him. They didn't tempt him. So what's really going on here? How is this allowed? So Rav Ben Zion Schleifer, as I've quoted many times, especially this week being in America, I'm in the downstairs base medrash of my sister, of the K family, and the Shmuz, Rav Ben Zion Schleifer, has this beautiful idea. I've quoted many of his ideas. We're going to combine this together with a number of different ideas. But he speaks about a cog in the wheel. And he points to a number of different examples. I'll give you one. April 14th, 1944. The deportation of Hungarian Jewry begins. Within 56 days, 500,000 men, women, and children are transported to Auschwitz for the final solution. If you were the German train operator at the station near Auschwitz, yes, you came of age. You see Hitler as the Führer, Yimach Shemo. You're indoctrinated, believing that the Germans are the Aryan nation. Hitler will establish a new Germany. But you can't deny what's in your cargo, where and where it's headed. The smell of burning flesh, you must know what's going on. You've never killed anyone. You're just driving. You're doing your job. You're guilty of murder. And famously, the Nuremberg trials. Each Nazi would defend themselves with this mantra: we were only following orders. Repeated time and time again. Each participant denying any guilt, saying, we're a cog in the wheel. I didn't murder anybody. I'm a lackey. I'm not a decision maker. But the secular world, even the secular world, didn't accept this. Because you are a cog in a wheel of a killing machine. If it wasn't for you, if you would have tried to stop it, you might have saved the souls of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And therefore, says Rav Schaefer, that Sfarno is teaching us. Sfarno teaches us that even a person who is not an active participant in an act can be considered responsible. Because in a normal society, basic human rights are given. If a society fails to keep basic safeguards in place, the society has failed its most basic responsibility. Every member of the group is accountable. And therefore, in the case of Dina, the townspeople made it possible for Shechem to do what they did. Because their standards were so low, Shechem knew nobody would say a word. This is an unbelievable difficulty in life, in morals, and as we've seen, how difficult it has become. The concept is spoken about by Rav Soloveitchik as well. Rav Soloveitchik writes, based on the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim, that the crime that was committed by only one individual, Shechem ben Chamor, but it was the brothers who considered the entire town to be hostile to Beis Yaakov. If one commits a crime and the community does not ostracize him or preach bigotry, hatred, they do not condemn him, they do not isolate him, they do not try to eliminate him, then a conspiracy of silence exists, which is just as culpable as the one who did the act. And this, as I said, quoting the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Dalid. That it's for this reason, says the Rambam, that all the males of Shechem were deserving of death. For Shechem abducted, and they saw and they knew, and they didn't bring him to justice. They just stood around. And this, the Rambam says, was just as bad. Was just as bad. Mibnei Zesh, says the Rambam, Nitchayvu ko balei Shechem Ariko. It's as if they were the ones who did it. Sharei Shechem gozel v'heim ro v'yadu v'lo danu. They didn't judge him. They saw what he did. They knew what he did. The worst of the worst. So this is, of course, a tremendous lesson to us. The morals, Baruch Hashem, of the Jewish people are supposed to be of the highest of standards. The intervening had to be there. And it teaches us, as part of society, that sometimes, yes, we have to be the minority and get up and say, this is wrong. This is something that we do not allow. I understand social norms. I understand. No. I cannot always be politically correct. Of course, we have to be careful with our words and not to offend people. But we have to know when something is not right, when we cannot do something. And yes, as Jewish people, it's difficult sometimes. Just last week, we were talking to the boys about my famous shiur about handshake and halacha. And there are many situations, as Rav Berlin, Rav Chaim Berlin says, in his Nishmas Chaim, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, amongst others, that a handshake may be allowed because, as the Nishmas Chaim says, they're going to think that we are mishugayim. There is an aspect. But, however, there are certain acts, and specifically here, I want to hone in on sexuality, where a person, yes, has to embarrass another person. I'm sorry, that is not something I'm able to do. All too often I hear stories in secular universities, in place of work, where the opposite gender is much different than you ever thought. And even if you went to a secular you go to a secular university, you have to separate yourself. Going to a co-ed yeshiva high school does not protect you. How does this idea relate to the holiday of Hanukkah? I think quite beautifully. It's a wonderful Rav. Our Rav Ben Simon had the great schus in my ride to the five towns today to listen to such a beautiful shir he gave, I believe, last year. Because what is true is that in Parshas Vayechi, we do see and we do know that Yaakov Avinu is not a big fan, seemingly, of what they did. And Yaakov very much publicly rejects what they did. The Pasuk tells us this. When he's giving out the brachos, Shimon v'Levi, Achim, Klei Chamas, Mechorteim. Speaking both about Midyan. But he curses them. Arur apam ki az v'avartem ki kashta. Because curse that you were fierce in what you did. Rashi tells us we're speaking about Shechem. But says Rav Schwab that the curse that he gave them was they did it because they were so angry. It wasn't completely for the right reason. They should have got up and said, no, this is wrong. A society can't be like this. The Ribbono Shel Olam in the same Rambam quotes Noach. Noach lived in a society that had to be destroyed. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, it doesn't matter what they do at this point. He was waiting for them, of course, to do tshuva, but he says, I have to destroy the town. I cannot live with this. But I think quite specifically, it was because dafka of the sexual immorality. But think about for a moment what Levi and Shimon represent. Shevet Levi, of course, is the Shevet of Kahuna. The Shevet that protects the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Our highest level, highest form of Kedusha. And Shimon are known as the Rebbeim of the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabbah. As we learn the story about Chanukah, Habaaleinu Latova, this greatest of great holidays, in the middle of Gullus, Mamish, in the middle of Yaakov Avinu time, in the middle of our story of Yaakov Avinu, it is the story of Gullus, about how the nations of the world, yes, Purim, they wanted to destroy Laharogul Habeid, but maybe even worse, similar to the Sarul Sha'efer, wanted to destroy us by pretending like they're our friends. Yavon saying, hey, you could still be Jewish, just join us. Shabbos, Rosh doesn't make sense. Rosh Chodesh doesn't make sense. Brismila doesn't make sense. You can still be Jewish, just don't do those crazy things. Chanukah was a holiday where they wanted to take this conduit of Kedusha away from us. Shimon was the Shevet who said no. They taught the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabbah, and we know the great story of the dreidel, and it's a wonderful story, but unfortunately we don't know the ending of it. Not all of it ended well. Not every time did the Greek army come and see them playing dreidel and say, oh, they're just playing, that's cute. Sometimes it was too late and they got caught and they were killed. And they would bring Nebuch, these Rabbeim, and kill them in the city square and said, this is not allowed. Torah is not allowed. And there was, of course, Shevet Levi, the story of Chanukah, the Kedusha, of the Chashmonaim, Matisyahu Kohen Gadol. And we know the great story of one of the reasons why we have Milchik is Yehudis. The Gemara alludes to the story of this general, Rachman al-Litzlan, this is the time of Chanukah, who made a decree that every girl that got married would first have to sleep with him. Defile them. And it was just being allowed and nobody was saying anything. And Yehuda said, this is what's going to happen. And at her chasana, she started undressing. Everybody's like, what are you doing? And her brothers, she had seven brothers. They said, what are you crazy? She's like, oh, this you're going to be against? But you know where I'm going tonight. You have to do something about this. And they got up. Those were the Chashmonaim. And Yehuda did her act and went there and fed him milchik, and he got tired. And when he fell asleep, she beheaded him. She snuck out with his head and said, "Don't bother him, he's sleeping." He said, "Don't wake him for a while." And that guy made her brothers be able to start the process of destroying, bringing that head and showing the army. And everybody got scared. Speak about a story of Me'atim, of the little moral people, Be'ad the Gedolim, of saying, "No, this is wrong. We will not allow this." That's a Shevet Levi. That's the Tinoko Shel Rabbim, who says, "No, we're going to continue learning Torah. Immorality is not part of our life." And specifically when it comes to sexual morality, we speak up and we say, "No, this is not who we are. We are against this." That's what Kedusha is about. The next generation, the children. But of course we teach them of what Kedusha is. This is such an important lesson, especially in our society. The Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us the great tefillos of Chanukah. It's a time that we could daven for Kedusha, and obviously, as we know, it's dafkin in the time that other holidays are right around it, that imbue the opposite of what Kedusha is, of what Tahara is. And it's unfortunately the time where there are holiday parties and a person has to protect themselves against this. The sexual immorality that could happen at these parties. And remind us that the Torah reigns, Kedusha reigns. We have to stand up for what is wrong and speak out against it. Even if it's the minority opinion. Chanukah is a great time of tefillah. We know that we're supposed to look at the candles and understand the Kedusha. Because the story is of just a few people who lit up a room. Because Bayamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh, the Medrash tells us that it wasn't year one that they only had oil enough. It was the second year the same nace happened, to show Bayamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh, Nisim V'Neflos can happen even in the time that we live in. But we have to stand up for what is right, and stand out and say, "I'm doing something." And as Lubavitcher Rebbe would often say, it's that little ray of light that can make such a difference. That is what we have to live as Jews. I think of Baruch Hashem, all of my esteemed relatives, but specifically as we commemorate the Yurtzeit of my grandfather, that's what my grandfather symbolized. Being a light unto the nations. One person changing the world. One person finishing Maseches Rosh Hashanah like my son Yonatan did. And a Rebbe who convinced their students at 12 years old, start a Masechta. Next is Tanis. It's these acts that keep Kedusha in our lives. Should be zeichet to get these lessons and keep these lessons of Kedusha and Tahara and understand what the Eitz Haharas are so prevalent in the world, especially in the gullus, in the winter, in the cold. But it's that light that can warm and light up a room and light up Kedusha. With that, we should be zeichet, as the Rambam tells us, Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad. We don't rely on the Kohanim only. We are the Kohanim of today. We should be zeichet to light the world up and speak up for what is right. And with that, we have this chus of seeing once again the Levi, Shiru Zimram, Kohanim Ba'avadosam, and Yisrael B'mahamdan with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi B'meir V'Yameinu. Amen V'Yameinu.